I call the May 16th, 2025 meeting of the Veterans and Military Omnibus Conference Committee to order. And a quorum is present. We begin our meetings with a pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Co-chair John, could you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As many of you know, the House has committee co-chairs, so co-chair Jay Jong and I will be co-chairing this conference committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We will begin with a walkthrough of the budget agreement spreadsheet, so we will have our nonpartisan fiscal staff walk through the spreadsheet. Ms. Hunt, or whoever.
Mr. Chair?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think I'll start by walking through the military affairs budget, and then I'll turn it over to Ms. Roberts to do the veterans affairs portion. I'm working from the document that is time-stamped May 16th at 1:15. I won't walk through the orientation of the spreadsheet since it's very similar to the spreadsheet version that we walked through on the first day of conference committee. You'll find on line 6 the operating adjustment at the governor's proposed level for the Department of Military Affairs. That's $600,000 in the first biennium and $802,000 in the tails. On line 7 is the governor's proposal for one-time...
Excuse me, could you pull the mic a little bit closer? I'm a little bit deaf.
Absolutely. Is that better?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, you bet, Chair. Then on line 7 is the governor's proposal for enlistment and retention bonuses, which is $8 million one time. There's $242,000 for the Holistic Health and Fitness Initiative on line 8, and $750,000 for the biennium for the cyber coordination cell. This is an ongoing appropriation with $754,000 in the tails. On line 11, you will find the effect on an open appropriation for the National Guard, which is related to pension offsets for when the National Guard is called up to state active duty, which was a House File 2338 from Representative Olson. And then Ms. Roberts will take the second half of the spreadsheet.
Mr. Chair, members, moving on to Department of Veterans Affairs. The first two items are the department's operating adjustments. You'll see on line 14 is the operating adjustment for programs and services of $1.189 million in 2627 and then $1.592 million in the tails. The operating adjustment for the veterans' homes is $39.2 million in 2627 and then $51.35 million in the tails. The next item is on line 16, which is an increase in suicide prevention programs or funding, and that's $300,000 in both biennia. The next item, moving down to line 18, is an increase in the CORE and Lutheran Social Services program. This was House File 2773, Representative Clardy's bill, and that is $300,000 one-time funding. The next item is the increase in the County Veteran Service Officers grants, and that was both a House and a Senate position of $120,000 in the current biennium and also in the tails. Moving down to line 21, you'll see there is $100,000 in one-time funding for the Hometown Heroes. That was for House File 492, Representative Hill's bill. And then finally on this page on line 28, you'll see a reduction of $400,000 from the base for the Veterans Resilience Project. Moving on to the second page on line 29, there's $118,000 in one-time funding for the Veterans of the Secret Guerrilla Units Task Force, and that was both a House and Senate provision in terms of the language. And then you'll see the final direct appropriation for Veterans Affairs on line 30, of $40.897 million in 2627 and $52.962 million. And again, that's the change from base. There's also one change that's related to Open General Fund, and that is Chair Bliss's bill of House File 2410. And this is related to education benefits for remarried spouses, and the estimated cost of that is $8,000 per year. To close out the spreadsheet, you'll see on lines 30 through 37, the summary of the expenditure changes, $50.5 $1,000,000 in 26-27, and then 54.538 in the tails, and that was the agreed-upon target for this conference committee. And then finally, I should just note, on line 43, you'll see the overall total spending. That's the base plus the expenditure changes, so $365.2 million for 26-27 from the general fund, and then $370.3 million in the tails.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. We will now have nonpartisan staff walk through the policy agreement table.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm working from the document titled SF 1959 Omnibus Veterans Article 2 Policy Agreement, dated May 15, 2025. Starting at the first row, R1 on the side-by-side, Senate Section 1, House Section 1, the agreement is to adopt the House language. The next row on R1, this is a House-only Section 2. It is agreed to adopt. The next row, R1, House Section 3, adopt. The next row, R1, House Section 4, adopt. The next row, which is on R1 to R4 of the side-by-side, and Senate Section 2, House Section 5, these are identical, and the action is to adopt. And then on R4, Senate Section 3, House Section 6, these are similar, and the action is to adopt the House language. Also on R4, Senate Section 4, House Section 7, these are identical, the action is to adopt. R4 to R5, Senate Section 5, House Section 8, also identical, and the action is to adopt. On R5, Senate Section 6, House Section 9, these were different language, and the action is to adopt the House language as amended by the A14 amendment, which was posted. On R6, you have a Senate Section 7. This is a Senate-only provision, and it is not adopted. R6 to R7, Senate Section 8. This is another Senate-only provision. It is adopted. R7, R8, Senate Section 9, House Section 10. These are identical, and we are adopting. R8 to R9, Senate Section 10, House Section 11. These are similar, and the action is to adopt the House. On R9, Senate Section 11, House Section 13, the action is to adopt the House as modified by the A14 amendment. And finally, on page R11, Senate Section 12, House Section 12, these were similar, and the action is to adopt the Senate language, but include the House language that is a purpose statement.
Thank you. Chair Zhang, we've agreed to an amendment on changes to the languages of Seeker, War, and Laos. Would you like to move the adoption of A14?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A14.
And would you please describe the amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, this is an agreement made between Chair Bliss, Chair Putnam, the bill authors in the House and the Senate, and in consultation with the SGU group. And so we appreciate everyone's effort and helping us get this provision to the finish line. And so I'd ask if folks have more questions, if nonpartisan staff wants to walk through what we changed or not. I don't know if you want
to. Would you like to do that, Mr. Diebel?
Yep. Mr. Chair and members, working off of the A14 amendment to the bill, the substantive changes include on page 2, we added a new paragraph C, which requires the Commissioner of Corrections to provide those SGAU veterans that they verify are eligible for these benefits a certificate so that they can use that to provide it to other agencies and entities that want proof of their veteran status. We also made some technical changes to the new paragraph D, which is the list of benefits and privileges, to eliminate a, to statutory references that were not relevant to this veteran status. In the new Section 13, which begins on 2.18, the task force membership has been updated. You can see there it's the same number of as was proposed by the House, but there are several members now with special expertise and knowledge of the secret war in Laos that will be asked to participate in the group. And then the agency is granted an extra month to form the working group, so the first meeting will not be required to be held until September 15th, as opposed to proposed the August 15th. And, Mr. Chair, that identifies the key substantive changes.
Thank you, Mr. Diebel. Is there any further discussion? Senator Putnam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to take a moment to thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Zhang, and our friends at MDVA for and all the local activists and people who have been involved in this issue for so long. I appreciate the collaborative and intentional effort that was put forward on behalf of this provision. I want to speak enthusiastically in support of it.
Thank you. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate your being the chair and Representative Zhang. I have concerns about the language here because of individuals in our caucus and others who have come forward to say that exclusively giving benefits to the SGU, the Hmong, excludes people who have served alongside our allied veterans in not only Vietnam, Southeast Asia, but alongside of us from the Revolutionary War with the French, along with those who served in Afghanistan and Iraq and those things. And by carving out for one individual group like this, it, to me, is an injustice to those individual men and women who served alongside of our allies. And that's so I will be voting against this amendment and be offering an amendment to include those other allied veterans who served alongside us in Vietnam.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. I do appreciate your candor on this issue. And I know we've had some discussions, and I do want to work with that and move forward on recognizing the other groups as well. We do have an agreement today to move forward with this, and I certainly want to hear you out on your amendment, and we'll continue those discussions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chair Zhang.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. And I hear you. Oh, and I just want you to know that, for the record, SGU does not limit to just Hmong veterans. So any SGU means any of the veterans who serve under the Special Guerrilla Unit will qualify under the benefits here. I just want that to be on the record.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. Senator Anderson.
So, Representative Zhang, where does that say that in the amendment, that other those of other armed force served along with us that will be included? They're not specifically brought out in the amendment or in our language.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chair Zhang.
Senator Anderson, it's called Special Guerrilla Unit. It doesn't say Hmong, just Hmong veterans. It's Special Guerrilla Unit veterans who serve. And Lao encompasses all the ethnicities from Laos, just like Americans encompasses anyone who is here in America.
So, Mr. Chair.
Oh, Senator Anderson.
Representative Zhang, do these individuals that are included in that, did they come before our veterans or our Department of Military Affairs and Veterans Affairs and swear an oath to the United States of America?
Chair Zhang.
Senator Anderson, we can have this debate at a different time, but when the American CIA recruited my ancestors, my grandfather, my father, this was not a conversation they had. So if we want to talk about this, I can spend all day having discussion on this, Senator Anderson.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think again, I do want to work with you, Senator Anderson, and other interested parties on this in the future. So I think today we need to move forward with this, and I'm going to listen to your amendment. We're going to speak to your amendment.
Okay.
So any further discussion, Representative Hemmingson, here, you had a question?
Yeah, it's just a English-based question on pronouns. So I know we have it lowercase secret war, and I remember a conversation where the advisor's office recommended having a capitalized S for secret and a capitalized W for war. So instead of doing an amendment, if that can be included with the revisor's office's offer, I suggest technical changes as needed. And clarify with them.
Just I don't know. I think that'll blow up this whole agreement. So I'm not. No, I'm just kidding. Staff, are we okay with that, Mr. Diebel?
Mr. Chair and members, if that's the direction from the chairs, we can work with the revisor to incorporate that in the final conference committee report.
I didn't catch the.
I'm sorry. The question was just the capitalization of veterans and secret war laws. It's all in lowercase. There's, she wants to move it to uppercase, so I don't see an issue with that. So we'll just have that change if everybody's okay.
Could
with
we
it.
Debate it for a while?
I'd like to. All right, so I think we can take that amendment. All in favor of taking that amendment to the amendment?
Aye.
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 Okay. We're having a sidebar, so give me a second. Good?
Good.
Okay. All right, so all in favor, any other discussion? All in favor to the amended amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair and members, we will move to testimony. And I believe the first person we have here is Commissioner Lindsay. Welcome to committee, Commissioner. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chairs Putnam, Bliss, Zhang, House and Senate. Conferees. For the record, my name is Brad Lindsay. I'm the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So I just want to thank you for your work on this conference committee report. I appreciate our collaboration in reaching this agreement. Funding the agency at the governor's recommendation will allow MDVA to continue providing a high level of support to our state's veterans and their families through our programs and services and healthcare divisions. The funding of our veterans' homes will allow the three new homes in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston to bring on staff so that we can continue increasing our census and reducing the wait list for veterans seeking to live in our homes. I want to thank the House conferees for their willingness to restore the funding of our homelessness prevention efforts. With this funding, it will ensure that Minnesota becomes the next state to declare a functional end to veterans' homelessness. Funding for food insecurity programs through the Lutheran Social Services Core Program and Metro Meals on Wheels will provide an important lifeline for veterans across the state. We believe the homelessness prevention and food insecurity funding, along with the grant to Hometown Heroes Outdoors, are all connected in the fight against veteran suicide. We appreciate the extra funding for our suicide prevention team and look forward to providing a comprehensive plan next session, as the conference committee report dictates. We're also glad to see that the conference committee report includes a strong bipartisan effort to recognize the contributions of Minnesota's SGU veterans. My team stands ready to work on the task force during this interim. Finally, thank you for including nearly all the policy items that MDVA pursued this session, including the federal alignment of burial eligibility in the state veteran cemeteries, MAXIS database access for Veterans Stable Housing Initiative, and the Gold Star and Blue Star Memorial Plaque in the Ring of Honor. The department remains committed to working with the legislature and stakeholders on the needed updates to our state's veterans benefits disclosure law during the interim. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me or my staff during the interim, and we would love to provide opportunities to show you around any of our veterans' homes or our veterans' cemeteries. Thanks again for all your hard work and collaboration on this. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Next is Mr. Don Kerr. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs. I'm Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. I'm here today on behalf of Major General Sean Mankey, the Adjutant General, who's returning from North Dakota this morning and couldn't be at the committee. But I also wanted to thank the conferees, the members, and the staff for the work on getting this bill moved forward. It does provide the funding that's necessary for all of our DMA programs that we asked for funding. Though we understand that the reduction in the holistic health and fitness program was necessary, there is sufficient funding there for us to continue the program to bridge it to the federal funding that we anticipate getting. And we really appreciate the increase in the incentives, the enlistment incentives program. We're still in a very, very difficult recruiting market, and our team is succeeding out there, but we really need those continued funds to move us into the future effectively. I do want to state for the record, however, that I understand it was not possible to fix the problem that we have with enlistment incentives in the tails, so I'll foreshadow a little bit, and we'll be back again in the future because we will have to fix that gap the next time we come out here to do budgets. So you might get a year off next year, but we'll be right back here swinging 2 years from now.
We always enjoy seeing your smiling face up there. So you're always welcome.
Mr. Chair, it won't be me. This actually may be my last official presentation before the legislature because I intend to retire this summer. So,
do we get to vote on that?
No, I don't think you get to, Mr. Chair. There's an executive branch line there. Separation of powers thing. But,
thank you, Mr.
But I would like to thank all the members for the time that I've spent getting to know many of you over many years and appreciate the relationships that we've had. I didn't mean to turn that into a personal moment, but I guess there we are. Once again, on behalf of the Adjutant General, thank you very much for the support from the committee and the conferees.
Enjoy your retirement, Mr. Kerr, and I want to thank you and your team for the incredible work throughout the years, too. Mr. Chair,
ask for more. Are there any other testifiers that would like to come forward? We have this gentleman first,
okay,
and then...
Please. Come up and state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Zhang, members of the committee, Chair Bliss. My name is Patrick Rowan. I'm the executive director of Metro Meals on Wheels. I want to thank you for your time today and your hard work on this bill. To be perfectly honest, I'm not proficient in your language and spreadsheets, so I had a little bit of a panic moment there where I saw zeros next to Meals on Wheels. But thanks to your work, we're going to be able to continue to serve the 220 veterans that we're serving today for another 2 years. So, and then as we envisioned, the pilot project will be expanding throughout the state. So once again, thank you very much for your hard work. Look forward to working with the VA to continue this program and to have conversations with you in the future.
Thank you so much for your testimony and for your work throughout the session. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next testifier, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jennifer O'Rourke. I'm the Director of Government Relations for Ramsey County. I always like to tell people you're in Ramsey County when you're at the Capitol. I have a letter, Mr. Chair, I'll be glad to submit for the committee's records, but it's a letter from Commissioner Rafael Ortega, who's chair of our county board. We were writing a letter of support for the position to reinstate the funding for the homeless veterans work. This is important funding. We are one of those counties that have received a grant in the past for our work. We employ a social worker to do a lot of this work, and I know there's other counties who are in the same situation, so we're glad to see this back here. I'll leave it at that, and we'll submit the letter later today. That's okay. Thank you.
Are there any other testifiers who'd like to come forward? Go ahead. Please come to the table and state your name and who you're with and begin your testimony, please.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is First Lieutenant Yi Zhang, who flew with the FACTS over Laos over 1,000 missions. And today I'm here just to thank you, Chair Jin Jie and Chair Bliss, for making this possible for the SU here today. So all I'm saying is thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other testifiers?
Ms. Janigal, please come to the table, state your name and who you're with, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Christy Janigal, the American Legion Department of Minnesota Legislative Chair and the Minnesota Association of County Veterans Service Officers Legislative Chair. I just want to come up here to thank you so much for the reinstatement of the homelessness funding. We could not continue the work that we do in this fight to end veteran homelessness without it, and we think that this is going to happen very soon for the entire state of Minnesota. We're also super grateful for the food insecurity funding. We honestly didn't think that was going to come to fruition, but we're super grateful because now we don't have to have veterans in the Metro dismissed from their Metro Meals on Wheels program after the effective date. So super glad to be keeping our folks on there and hope to enroll more people, and excited about the LSS Core funding. And lastly, thanks for all the groundwork that was put in place on the Claim Shark bill this year. We hope to pick that conversation back up with you next year and hopefully come to an agreement. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other? Yes, sir. Come to the table, state your name and who you're with, and begin your testimony.
My name is Scott Walker. I'm with the Coalition of Allied Vietnam War Veterans and Afghan war veterans recently evacuated from Afghanistan in 2021. I also represent the Special Forces Association Chapter 20 and the 173rd All Airborne Brigade Chapter 15. While we appreciate the effort here today and we support the Hmong and Lao who have been awarded this very, very important honor to be interned with our U.S. veterans. We are very disappointed that all those other ethnic allies that we served with in Vietnam, Cambodia, South Vietnam, those special operators that did top secret missions into North Vietnam, that live here in Minnesota, that served many years in North Vietnamese prison camps, those Khmer that were subject to genocide from the Khmer Rouge after our evacuation from Phnom Penh, those Kampuchea Krom that served with Medal of Honor recipients that have been awarded from the United States Congress, all of these live here in Minnesota and have been omitted from this honor. From our point of view, this is not a cavalier effort. This is deadly serious in literal terms. We are interning people that have, and we believe are justified in being interned with our combatants. We are confident that those interred in our cemeteries today would agree, but to omit others is really an abomination. We have spent several weeks in trying to catch up with this bill. We submitted testimony to the committees, and as far as our American allies are concerned, this is something we will not yield from. We served and died with them, and to be singled out one group and not the others is really, really serious. We do look forward in working with the state legislature in the future, but for the record, it is imperative that we make our voices known, and we would prefer, you have some serious flaws in this bill today. We spent almost 3 years in rectifying the federal burial bill. The federal government, VA, had adopted our recommendations, and I fear that you are making the same mistakes that the federal government has made. And so, unfortunately, we were not included in the genesis of this legislation. We probably could have avoided much of that. There are Hmong and Lao that are still omitted from this bill. if you read the language, it is flawed terribly. So we do look forward in the future. Maybe we can help satisfy some of the concerns of our U.S. veterans in this regard. And we congratulate the Hmong and the Lao that are included in this bill. But many of you are not, or some of you are not for sure. And so we can certainly help you identify the flaws in that going forward. At this late date, it's going to be difficult to amend them. You're going to have to revisit this with legislation either this session or next session. And for those that have been omitted, if they happen to pass into history, they will not be honored with what you have given them today. So with that, thank you very much for your attention. And for the record, we thought it important that we make this statement.
Thank you, sir. And I do look forward to working with you to rectify this. Any other testimony?
Welcome to the committee. Representative Cha, please state your name for the record and proceed with the testimony.
Thank you. Representative Cha, Woodbury, 47B. I'm here to thank this committee and its member to the chairs, both on the Senate and the House, for the collaboration, the work, and the efforts that you made. The merits of this bill in regards to SGU has been a long time coming. It has been 50 years. I applaud the legislation, the staff, all those of you that were involved in this part of the bill. I want to thank Commissioner Lindsay, MDVA, for working with us, the Office of the Governor, and those stakeholders that came to the table to make the voice be heard. This bill does not only honor Hmongs, but all irregular forces in the secret war of Laos, in Laos, particularly Laos. This is what this bill does. This is who this bill honors. I'm speaking on behalf of my elders who are here, who do not speak English, who had asked me to speak in their place. As a son of an SGU veteran who served from 61 to 75, I want to thank you. And as part of the MAP caucus chair, a Minnesota Pacific Asian legislator, which nine of us, whom are all sons or daughters of SGU soldiers, that we are honored to be a part of this legislation. We are honored that you have given light to our fathers, our grandfathers, to our community. This bill does not only affect those in Minnesota, but affects those in all 50 states. Who are looking to us as the North Star, as a beacon of hope, to recognize, to lift the spirit, and honor each and every person who served and lost their life in that war. And so I thank you for the honor, for your hard work, and the merit of this bill. And I look forward to continuing to work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cha. Are there any other testifiers? All right, seeing none. Are there any other amendments that would like to be a Senator Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have amendment A26, and basically A26 is to delete the language both in the House and Senate.
Do we have that? I'm sorry, Senator Anderson, do we have the A26?
I don't know if that.
Can you pass it out?
And it's basically, in reading from the GI Bill Improvement Act of 1977, it says, in order for groups like the SGU to be considered to have rendered service, active service to the armed forces of the United States, the group must submit an application to the Department of Defense Civilian Military and Service Review Board. The CMSRB board, which I just made an acronym for, will weigh a number of factors, including to what extent was it under the control of the U.S. Armed Forces in support of military operations or missions during armed conflict and determine whether the applicant group rendered active service. It has not been determined yet by the Secretary of Air Force. Now, this was May of 2021 when that came out, and so it's still under scrutiny by the Department of Secretary of the Air Force to determine not only this group, the Hmong, but also the Khmer, the Laotians, the Vietnamese, the Filipinos, all others that fought in the Southeast Asian War to determine their being given the opportunity to have benefits according to the United States. So I put forth the amendment, the 826.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Is there any comments or questions on the amendment? Senator Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will say that I oppose the amendment. Well, one of the things that I was especially proud of in the Senate is when we had a bill with a provision extremely similar to the A14 in our omnibus bill. It passed unanimously through the Senate. So there is support within the body as a whole to recognize and support the SDU folks who sacrificed so much on our behalf. So for that, any number of reasons, I am in opposition to this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Putnam. And I know we've spoken, and we are in agreement that we can want to continue to work to honor the rest of the Allied veterans that served with us and fought next to our soldiers. Chair Zhang, would you like to?
Thank you, Chair Bliss. Senator Anderson, while I appreciate what you're trying to do here, I would love to have a more deeper conversation. This is coming in very last minute. I wish you would have spoken with me earlier. We had a whole session to speak on this. And so, you know, I want to be intentional and want to have a conversation. So I respectfully will not support your amendment here to the bill.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. And the motion does not prevail.
We will now move to adoption of the agreement spreadsheet and policy table prepared by.
I got more. Another amendment?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I thought I had more amendments, but yeah. Nobody recognized
Oh, us. Sorry. I'm sorry, Senator Anderson.
I have the A31.
Okay. And do we have a copy of the A31?
Supposedly.
I will not do that to you again. I apologize.
Sorry, I called you Paul. I've been with the other Anderson all morning.
Oh, you're working on agriculture.
Yep.
Well, Mr. Chair, this basically is taking and deleting Section 6 and putting in the Allied Irregular and Surrogate Forces Veterans of the Vietnam War, and that includes then all of those forces who were considered, as I mentioned earlier, the Khmer, the Montenegro, the Hmong, the Lao Lum, the Lao Taung, the Southeast Asian ethnic groups, Filipinos, and others who fought in Southeast Asia. And basically, it's putting that language in there to recognize all of those who fought alongside of our allies, our American troops. So with that, I move the amendment A31.
Thank you. Any discussion to the amendment? Senator Putnam.
Thank you, Chair Pelis. Again, I speak in opposition to this amendment. I understand and respect the initiative and the goal that Senator Anderson has on this issue, but I think at this time it's best to take care of the folks we can right now. To do the right thing for some people is important when you can't do the right thing for everybody. So for that reason, I speak in opposition to the amendment.
Any other comments? And again, same statement on this, Senator Anderson. I completely agree with the focus of it, and I want to work with you on doing this. So I will not support it this time, but we will talk and continue on this discussion. Any other discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just would like to say that this has been an ongoing discussion for years, and to now basically come with the a bill that we have now to do this, we continually to leave out these other groups, and I'm just very sad to see that happen and want to see some recompense for that.
We will. We'll work on it together.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the A31, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
No. And the amendment does not prevail. Any further amendments?
Mr. Chair, I have the A27 amendment.
Is See, I'm a man of my word. I didn't do it to you again.
Huh?
I didn't do it to you again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This basically is to, on page 13 of the bill, put in National Guard and Reservist combat veterans. It's to recognize them and to give the provide eligibility for benefits and privileges to those who served as Guard and Reserve members of our armed forces. And I ask for support on the bill.
Thank you. Senator
Putnam. Of the amendment, I should say.
Thank you, Chair Bliss. Thank you, Senator Anderson, for this amendment. Again, I think this is a fantastic idea, but we're not really in the position to be able to take care of it at this moment. So I would, again, encourage a negative vote.
Helen, would there be a cost to this?
Mr. Chair, could you give me a moment? I haven't seen it.
Absolutely. Or Mr. Diebel or anyone of the Senate staff would like to weigh in. Yeah, there was $1,000. There's been bills for that. Yeah. And then $1,000. Ms. Roberts, looks like you have the answer. No? An answer.
Mr. Chair, members, as my understanding, this amendment would expand the number of potential people that are eligible for certain benefits. I would note that at this point, the bill does not provide additional funding for any of these benefits, so that would not increase the cost of the bill.
Thank you. And Senator Anderson, I love this idea, but I think right now in this bill, I think we need to move forward, but I'd like to see this come forward next year because we need to do this for our veterans.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just getting the targets yesterday, I see that we have an extra few million dollars that may be available to maybe make this happen. So
I didn't see those billions. Where'd they go?
So
are you hiding them from me?
It's in my pocket.
So if there's extra money, I would like to make sure that these National Guard and Reservist combat veterans get the benefits that they deserve just as well as others.
All right. And I do like this idea. It's something that we have to look at. And I would not support it today, but I do want it. Again, with these, this one is I have a lot of family members who are retired National Guard and Army Reserve that would probably love to see this go through. So, but today I don't think we can do it. And any other further discussion? All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
And the amendment does not prevail. Any further amendments?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A-28.
The A-28. And while he's passing that amendment out, would you like to describe the amendment?
Basically, this is to allow National Guard and Reservists to be buried in our state cemeteries. That's the short gist of it. Honorably discharged members of the National Guard and Reserve.
Okay. I don't know. Huh. Commissioner Lindsay, can you step to the table, please? I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
If you served in the National Guard and you went on a couple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, are you eligible to be buried in state cemeteries?
You are, sir. Yes.
Senator Anderson, what? I don't understand. We'll go back to the A-27 versus the A-28. Am I missing something? Because I assume that it was, I'm sorry, I didn't fully read the amendment that I had 10 seconds to look at. But
well, I don't know if members who who don't serve, who serve 20 years of active duty.
Right, that's this one.
And they don't have any combat, but they are honorably discharged.
Right.
That
they don't. But
they don't.
The previous one was combat veterans.
Right, and this one here is for honorably discharged veterans.
Right.
There's no.
Right, and that's the one I thought I was speaking to before.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. So that, okay. But the combat veterans, they are currently, so this bill, or this.
This is different.
Okay, all right, sorry. And Commissioner, you have a comment?
I would add, Mr. Chair, that Guard and Reserve, who were not deployed or served on active duty, but retired due to time in service, 20-year service, are also eligible for burial in the state national cemeteries.
They are,
yes.
But they have to be retired, not just honorably discharged.
Correct.
They have to be retired.
Correct.
And you want to move this one to honorably discharge National
Correct.
Guard Reserve Corps. Okay.
After right. 6 years or 8 years, whatever the time they served.
Okay. Comments, Senator Putnam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you, Senator Anderson. Again, the intent here, I think, is excellent and necessary. But there are still a number of variables that would need to be sorted for this. So I don't think that we're prepared to adopt this today. And I would urge a negative vote.
Just think about that. Extra $1 million that we have.
Where is this?
Where are you finding that $1 million? I'd like to know. Who do you know?
There's some leadership that has money someplace.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Okay. Any further comments to this amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
The amendment does not carry. Senator Anderson, do you have more amendments?
I have one amendment left.
One more? Okay, here we go.
It's the A30. And the reason I bring this forward is because we, just in the last few weeks, have conversation with a gentleman who's a veteran, who's disabled, has been active in state agency work, and applied for a job that was offered to him, and because of veterans' preference, he should have been considered. And he got a letter 28 days after he had put in for his, saying that he was not qualified. And there was no other explanation from the state agency. And so what I'm asking here is for each state agency under the veterans' preference 43A.11 to make sure that they deliver a report to the chairs and ranking members of the legislative committees with jurisdiction over veterans, military affairs, finance, to bring a report back of those veterans who are within our state agencies that are available for employment and who have put in for applications to other jobs within state employment. So I'm just trying to protect the vets that are here, especially after I hear this story of a gentleman who is a disabled veteran who is in a state agency. I'm not going to mention which one, but he was denied the services. And the recommendation was from his attorney that you could sue. He could sue. And so my concern is that he doesn't want to do that, but he has every right to do that.
Who's the commissioner?
And so that's the A30 gist of the amendment.
Mr. Kerr, would you be the agency that would be tracking the veteran status? I can't let you get away that quick, so we had to get you back up here. So, did you hear the amendment?
I did, Mr. Chair, and I heard your question. Again, Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. No, our agency does not track veteran status employment. That's actually done by MNB, I believe,
okay.
Through self-reporting. So individual state employees can self-report their status as a veteran or non-veteran, but we don't have any insight into that at all in the Department of Military Affairs.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kerr. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question of the testifier?
Yeah, go ahead. Don.
Or
I'm sorry, Mr. Kerr.
Sorry. Maybe perhaps of MDVA instead. I'm just trying to get you to walk back and forth as much as possible.
Test out that new hip.
I can ask the question to either of you, whoever is coming. Is there currently a grievance process for someone who were applying for a job under these circumstances? Is one question. The next would be, what capacity would it require to track these kinds of things? Would this be an additional sort of staff time issue? And third is potentially, like, who is, we think MMB is tracking this stuff now. Could you give us a little bit more detail potentially about what they do?
Yes, Senator.
That's a lot of questions.
Mr. Kerr is correct. Yeah, MMB does an annual report, I believe, on veteran status and retention and things like that in state of Minnesota government. The process that exists is within MDVA, a person who feels their veterans' preference rights were violated either in hiring or in promotion is able to file a petition for relief to me as the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. And then it goes through that process, which ends up with like an ALJ, and then I have final decision-making authority on those decisions.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I guess I don't have a problem with this, but my question is, this would affect every agency.
Every agency in the state.
Yep. So it would probably be better off in state government. And they have not closed up yet. And I will walk this over to Jim Nash and ask him to carry it in that bill.
That would be great.
And Jim Nash is a big supporter of our veterans as well. So that I'll do today. But I don't think we have the authority to make other state agencies do these reports. But state government does, and I'll talk to Jim today.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Do you want to withdraw it then?
Yeah, I'll withdraw the.
Okay. And I'll hold on to this and walk it over to Representative Nash today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, gentlemen.
Now, any more amendments? Senator Anderson, none.
You want one?
All right, we will move to the adoption of the agreement spreadsheet and policy table prepared by nonpartisan staff. Oh, Vice Chair Hemmingsen-Yeager, sorry.
Thank you. I just for my own clarification, this might be a question for our nonpartisan staff, but when we talk about the Meals on Wheels provision, my understanding is that they have a carry forward, they have a balance that can be carried forward. Do we need any sort of language or something in the spreadsheet to designate it as such? That's my question.
Mr. Chair, yes. So the draft spreadsheet that we walked through doesn't have that in, but the final spreadsheet that will be circulated, there's a couple pieces that will label the extension. The extensions under the budget rules don't cost anything, but we have to note the date that it's gone through. We were just waiting. Unfortunately, neither Ms. Roberts or I were there to get the details on what number should be plugged in there. There will be a number that identifies the amount being carried forward and the date through which it's being carried forward, and the language for that will be inserted into Article 1.
Vice Chair Hemmingsen-Yeager.
Thank you. Just wanted to make sure that was closed. Appreciate it.
Okay. Any further comments? All right. Then we will now officially move to adoption of the agreement spreadsheet and policy table prepared by nonpartisan staff dated May 15. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
No.
Motion carries. The agreement. The agreement spreadsheet and policy documents are adopted.
All right. We will instruct nonpartisan staff to incorporate the language of the A14 into the conference committee report and make the necessary changes.
Any closing remarks, Chair Putnam?
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Thank you, Chair Bliss. I want to thank every member of the Senate Veterans Subcommittee and those of us who work together, not only as members but as staff, especially all these fine people sitting around the table right now, who worked really hard through some really complicated issues. I also want to take a moment to talk about service itself, and I'm grateful that we're here in this committee, in this jurisdiction, to talk about people who have served for something greater than themselves, which is what every veteran does, and it's what every American ought to do. So I hope that we take, as we talk about these issues and these policies, as we salute the flag, I hope that we think about those people who have made those sacrifices, and we think about how we can embody, embolden, and build off those sacrifices. In particular within the bill, I'm grateful that we realize that there are interactions between some of the work that we do, that if we don't take care of veterans' homelessness, we're going to have bigger problems when it comes to self-harm and suicide and food insecurity. So I think that we did a very good job of balancing those concerns and realizing and understanding their interactions. I do want to say, however, that I do still have some frustration around the issue of claim sharks, especially when we talk about fraud and abuse so much around the legislature this past year, that we would neglect to fully address and take care of a problem of fraud and abuse on our most vulnerable veterans, disabled folks, is a concern. But I am emboldened by the fact that I believe that we are going to keep having conversations on this issue, and I just hope that we are dedicated to accountability and to making sure that the people who do this work are doing it right, doing it well, and are being compensated fairly and not absurdly. So with that being said, again, thank you all to everyone who did this work with us together. I'm glad that we get some more work to do.
Any other comments from senators? Closing remarks? None? Vice Chair Henson-Yeager?
Thank you, chairs. Thank you, senators, too, for being a part of this process, and thank you to everybody for helping out. I was really honored to be a part of this committee, and then especially honored to be a part of the conference committee. I think there's a lot of good work in here. I really appreciated the holistic approach we looked at, you know, looking at our veterans' homes, making sure we have the operating adjustments to have the staff for the veterans' homes. Very grateful that we restored the homelessness funding. We all know that if we address homelessness, we do address suicide as well, but I do also appreciate the extra emphasis on the suicide prevention. Food insecurity is really important, so I'm glad we were able to look creatively at that. And then also really important to my constituents and myself is the long overdue honor for our SGU veteran, so I'm glad to see that in there. And I will just kind of echo Senator Putnam with the claim shark. As someone who has worked on some consumer protection bills, disappointed and frustrated that we weren't able to tie up those last couple things, but I look forward to hopefully working a little bit more closely with that as we come to next session. So just want to extend my gratitude and my thanks. Looking forward to this.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to say glad to be a part of the Veterans Bill, glad to be included in the committee and on the conference committee. Sad to see that we are kind of being exclusive in the way we recognize those allies that fought alongside us in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War, which I was a part of. And I hope that next go around we can make things better.
Thank you. Mr. Vice Chair, Mr. Chair Zhang, you have any closing comments?
I think everything has been said, so I just want to really thank you, Chair Bliss and Chair Putnam and all the conferees for the work this week to get this bill to the finish line. Everything's been said already, reinstating funds back for housing our vets. I just want to thank the community, our veterans for coming in and sharing their stories with us, making sure that we are paying attention to your needs. And I also know that there were several folks who did come to us with ask for support, and we were not able to include them in the bill. Specifically, I know Representative Clardy worked very hard on the Black Youth Mentorship Veteran Bill, and we were not able to get that incorporated because we didn't have any funding to pay for. So that's why I hope that next session, if we have a supplemental budget, that we could have a continuing conversation on this. And so just want to let the community know about that. And then I also want to just take a moment and speak in my name along to the veterans are here today. Governor, Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you. And in closing, I'd like to speak in my native tongue. Thank you very much for coming. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes I have a I have a poor sense of humor, which is on display a lot. I apologize. I do want to make a couple comments as to the other people that came to us for some assistance and we were unable to fund them. The big lift this year was to our veterans' homes. Back in 2018, we did authorize 3 veterans' homes in the state of Minnesota, and all you people here know that I'm speaking to the people at home. And the other people, and we at that time we had agreed to fund these. In 2022, I believe we recommitted to funding these veterans' homes. They were built. They were only statutorily being able to be at about 30% for a while till they got certified, and now they're certified, so they have to get up, they have to staff up, and that's where we're seeing a large number in the budget. So that was. That was something that we had committed to our veterans, so that had to take priority over a lot of other stuff. So that's where that went. And then also to the to Senator Anderson's comment and some of the others, I do want to continue to work on this. And there was a comment made that we've been working on it for years and not made any progress. We've made one step. I know you don't like that step, but we are now we've broken the seal, and I want to make sure that we move forward and go and get the rest of the recognition out there. I do want to thank our staff. I know I'm a pain in the ass. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a pain in the keister sometimes, and I appreciate how you put up with me. And I'm sure the senators are nowhere near that troublesome to your staff. So we do appreciate all the staff. And, John, you've been the one that's been it's a heavy load, I tell you what. So I do appreciate you all, and I don't think I have any further comments. I do want to say thank you to everybody. It's been a pleasure, and we will move forward from here. Thank you. And with that, this committee is adjourned. Thank you.